Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Dick Cheney returns to the hospital tomorrow. It's for what are called routine tests to check unrepaired aneurysms in the back of his knees and the condition of that high-tech pacemaker placed in his chest in June 2001. Cheney's spokesperson says the test at George Washington University Medical Center will include an electrocardiogram. After the test, they say Cheney to fly to Florida to watch the launch of the shuttle Discovery and also attend the 48th annual Pepsi 400 NASCAR race at Daytona. Cheney's had 4 heart attacks, quadruple bypass surgery, and 2 artery-clearing angioplasties. Last September, Cheney underwent 6 hours of surgery on the repair of the aneurysms on the back of his knees. More threats from bin Laden. The White House says they do believe the voice of an audio tape out today is that of Osama bin Laden. Spokesman Tony Snow saying it is another tape from the al-Qaeda chief saying, quote, it is what it is. On the tape, bin Laden claims he'll stage more attacks against the U.S. in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. Bin Laden says his goal is to make American troops, quote, return defeated to your nation. Bin Laden also paid tribute to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, who led the group's operations in Iraq until the U.S. killed him in a bombing raid this month. Bin Laden says America should release Zarqawi's body to the family. Tony Snow, no comment on that. 5 U.S. Army soldiers under investigation for allegedly raping an Iraqi woman, then killing her and 3 relatives. An American official close to this investigation says these soldiers are all from the same unit as those 2 privates who were kidnapped, brutalized, and killed by Iraqi insurgents. That official says that incident stirred guilty feelings, prompting at least 1 soldier to reveal the rapes and killings, which allegedly took place in March. A setback for environmental groups worried about whales being harmed by sonar. The Pentagon giving the go-ahead for the Navy to use sonar during maritime exercises off Hawaii. A 6-month exemption will allow the Navy to proceed without a federal permit while being exempted from the law that protects marine mammals. Navy officials say they will still take steps to protect the sea creatures while using the sonar. Those steps, they say, include making sharp cuts in sonar power if a marine mammal is spotted near a ship. Environmentalists are enraged at the decision by the Navy to proceed. This is Air America Radio News.
Fonda sitting in for Mike Malloy here at Air America Radio as we head into the July 4th weekend. Where has the crime family taken this country from a nation that inspired a planet? We've become one whose leadership terrifies the world. We'll ask what kind of model the U.S. is to the world at large today, and what's a patriot? I want to hear your nominations. Coming up, a live report from the Middle East, where both Israeli and Palestinian peace activists fear the precedents set by the government of this country do them no good as they try to rein in their own leaders there. We'll talk to a physician at a hospital in Gaza. Then, looking for patriots, the Gulf Coast has plenty of them, sadly. With a new dispatch of soldiers, New Orleans is looking more and more like Baghdad. We'll talk to Reverend Lennox Yearwood of the Hip Hop Caucus about the progress of the bottom-up Gulf Coast renewal campaign. And finally, Bob Wattada, father of Aaron Wattada. There's a patriot for you, the first commissioned officer publicly to refuse deployment to Iraq. All that and an answer to last night's quiz. What was the crime family doing after the Supreme Court handed down its verdict? We found out. I'm Laura Flanders, sitting in for Mike Malloy.
I say to Bush, you should deliver the hero's body to his family. And don't be too happy our flag hasn't fallen. Thanks to God, it has passed from one lion to another lion in Islam.
That was what the Bush family were doing last night. As far as I can see, our question is answered. What were the Bush crime family up to last night in the wake of that Supreme Court slapdown of the president's use of the untrammeled executive power? Well, Dick was recording one of his scary-sounding Bin Laden tapes, just to remind us why it is that we should let our president do exactly what he pleases. U.S. military law be damned, the Geneva Protocols be damned, and, while we're about it, the Constitution, too.
For the fifth time now since February, there are charges that American forces have committed atrocities. In this case, the facts are gruesome. The killing of a family of four, including the rape and murder of a young Iraqi woman. The U.S. military is investigating this case at the highest levels of the service.
U.S. soldiers indeed may have raped an Iraqi woman and then murdered her and the three members of her family, including a child, U.S. Army officers said today. Well, it's yet another horror in the annals of Bush's occupation and war. And as we head into July 4th weekend aside, jokes about the crime family and Bin Laden tapes aside, it's a time traditionally to read the Declaration of Independence, listen to patriotic speeches. And this year it's tough, tougher than usual, to hear all that eloquent rhetoric and not be haunted by reality. I'm Laura Flanders, sitting in for Mike Malloy. The number is 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. I'm taking your nominations for Patriot of today. Patriot of this week, this year, this period. I'd love to hear your nominations, your suggestions. We're blogging and streaming at radionation.org. That's www.radionation.org. It's the name of the show I normally host here on weekends here on Air America Radio. I don't know about you. You can write to me, too, Laura, L-A-U-R-A, at airamericaradio.com. I think this has been a hard week to lead into the July 4th weekend. It's been a tough week to celebrate the model this nation is for the world. I mean, really, where have we come? And correct me if you think I'm wrong, but damn, from a nation that inspired a world in George Washington's day, it seems to me we've become a place that is choosing to terrify more than to inspire. I mean, Washington, listen to his speeches. He was the great anti-imperialist. His farewell address to the nation was to, quote, warn against the mischiefs of foreign intrigue and to guard against the impostures of pretended patriotism. That's what he urged us to do. What was Tom Paine's message to the nation? Oppose not only tyranny, but the tyrant. And where have we come? We are a nation that rules by fear, rules ourselves. And we're not a nation. We have a leadership that rules this nation, or hopes to, by fear. By the Osama bin Laden tapes following closely upon the Supreme Court's effort to slap down executive power. Don't tell me that release wasn't carefully timed. A nation that seems to look away when its own soldiers commit atrocity after atrocity. What those atrocities tell us is something is wrong. Not just in the individual, but also in the collective. We've become a nation that jokes, spent the day joking. The Middle East's in flames. Afghanistan is being retaken by the Taliban. We have Baghdad burning, New Orleans sinking, and we have a president that, if you only read, only listened to CNN, if you'd been watching CNN all day, you'd be forgiven for thinking that the president and the Japanese president's trip to Graceland were the most important things that happened today. Oh, that and the latest decision by Star Jones. We have a nation that feeds on distraction. We have a nation that loves to joke. And I'm up for joking too, but we're in a crisis here, aren't we? I mean, when you have the fifth time since February charges that American forces have committed atrocities, something's wrong. Not just in the individual, but also in the collective. When you have polls around the world showing that people in European and Muslim countries see U.S. policy as a bigger threat to world peace than Iran's nuclear weapon program, we have a problem. When the president was in Europe earlier this month, thousands of students turned out to march through the streets chanting, "Bush, go home." And in the Middle East tonight, we've done a lot of research, talked to a lot of people in the last few hours. I'll tell you, there are peace activists on both sides, on all sides, Israelis, Palestinians, both, who fear that the U.S. today is not only providing money for Israeli invasion and stirring the arms race in the region, but also as a model, is modeling responding to violence with violence in a way that sets back indefinitely their chances of ever persuading their people to take a different course there. Don't let anybody tell you there aren't activists in Israel and there aren't activists in Palestine who would like to have different leadership, different policies on behalf of their leaders. They have fought for years, even longer than a lot of us have, to try to call for an alternative response to violence. Read the blogs today. Read their accounts today, and you read things like this, written on a blog attached to a Haaretz piece in the Israeli newspaper Haaretz. If you base your policy on instinct, gut and God, right and wrong, and abandon analysis, rationalizations, and plain common sense like Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld has done, look at the outcome. A lost war, an ideology that is broke, diminishing power and respect in the world, only military power remains, and police state USA. This is how Israeli peaceniks are describing the United States. And who can blame them? And that report from Afghanistan that I read today that just stuck with me all afternoon, the title was Ethnic Uzbek Legislature Beaten. And the story was about how an Afghan official who had been the right-hand man of a general called Abdul Rashid Dostum had been beaten up and had to be taken to hospital. Several things. One, they describe Abdul Rashid Dostum as an ethnic Uzbek general. It's a fancy word for warlord. And when you read a little bit deeper into the story, you're reminded who this Dostum figure is. And worse than that, you're reminded what our relationship with this man has been. Rumors are flying around the legislator's hometown that, in fact, the person that beat him up was a loyalist to this General Dostum because he'd been voting too independently in the parliament there in Kabul. General Dostum, a Russian-trained military officer, led a notorious militia during 2 decades of war in Afghanistan, the Times reports, and has been accused of war crimes and of being behind many atrocities committed by his fighters. It's true, this is a man who, during the war against the Soviet occupation, was famous for having committed mass rapes and destruction of towns and villages around his region of Afghanistan, including in the outskirts of Kabul. The story then goes on. He was a prominent ally of the United States in the war against the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, and was frequently praised by American officials for his contribution. And the final paragraph, yet his men are blamed for some of the worst excesses of that war, including the suffocation of hundreds of Taliban prisoners who were being transported from the battlefield to a prison in sealed shipping containers in 2001. These are our allies, folks. And no matter how much kind of soft language like ethnic Uzbek general to stand in for warlord, you can't really mask what's going on. And my question to you tonight is, what has happened to the nation of Tom Paine? Oppose not only tyranny but the tyrant. What has happened to the reputation of a nation of George Washington that called on us to reject those who pretend patriotism and lead us into mischief abroad? What has come of our reputation in the world, people? It's not hard to take stock, or rather it's hard not to take stock, of where the crime family has brought us this July 4th. But we are going to balance the grim with the positive tonight. I want to hear from you, your nominations for Patriot of tonight, of this particular July 4th weekend. We're going to be joined by the father of a U.S. officer who's refusing to return to Iraq. And we're going to try to raise up some of the heroes right now struggling to rebuild the Gulf Coast. There are good stories out there, and there are the grim. We'll try to balance the two. I'm Laura Flanders, sitting in for Mike Malloy. A little bit later, we will hear from a doctor trying to provide medical services, even under siege in Gaza. We will hear from Leonard Yearwood of the Hip Hop Caucus about the Gulf Coast Renewal Campaign. And Bob Watata will join us from Hawaii. His son is the first commissioned officer to refuse to go back to Iraq. Here's the big news of the night.
Thank you very much, Paul. Treat me nice. That's Elvis song. Treat me nice. Thank you.
Are we going to have some barbecue? Thank you.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Entrepreneur. Smart word. So smart, it's almost a different language. Look it up. Here at Budget Rent-A-Car, we admire entrepreneurs, and not just for their bilingual skills, but also for their courage, and for the big thinking they show by opening a small business and joining the Budget Business Program. Yes, the Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. That's $2 back every day. No wonder Budget won the 2006 Entrepreneur Magazine Business Travel Award as the best car rental value for small businesses. Such an entrepreneur thing to do. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business to sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent Budget and rent like a genius.
Bright Light City, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty
women. Dear. Sadie's been watching too much CNN coverage of the Japanese president's visit here, the Japanese prime minister's visit. Ay. Really, how many reports? It just goes to show all you need to get news attention is to have funny-looking glasses and someone with an odd accent imitating Elvis. That's really all you need. They had the great footage, so they made it the news story of the day, that Japanese prime minister had a sense of humor. Here's another clip from CNN. This is the truly important news of the weekend. Cut three. Oops, sorry. Cut three. Oh, is it there? Do you have it? Yeah, we'll go in there.
As you can see, the Japanese prime minister has quite a sense of humor, actually putting on his Elvis glasses there. He had a chance to perform for Lisa Marie and Priscilla. Now he's performing for the crowd there in Graceland. It just seems something odd about this, but it's quite interesting.
Yeah, well, there is something odd about this. Here's another clip, 2A.
To dream impossible. Now, to dream the impossible dream. My dream came true. So, thank you very much.
Yeah. It goes on and on and on. How much of the Prime Minister do you want to hear singing Elvis? And we don't have the pictures, so maybe it makes for less good radio. But you really would believe nothing else had happened today, wouldn't you? I mean, that would, except, of course, for the latest Star Parker Jones story. That's the other big important news this weekend. Sorry to sound so cynical here, but hey, we're in the business of nominating patriots this evening, as well as everything else. We'll get to your calls right after the break. Your nominations for patriots, here's a couple of mine. How about the Arkansas High Court that upheld the decision to overturn the state's ban on letting gay foster parents look after kids? If that's where we're at, I'll take it. The Arkansas High Court, your patriots tonight. You declared there's no link between a parent's sexuality and the well-being of the child. Well, thank you very much. Cecilia Firethunder, the South Dakota Sioux tribal chief who said she would build a women's health clinic on the reservation should the state's sweeping abortion ban be upheld, she's been removed from her position. The tribal council voted 9-5 last night to remove Cecilia, saying she acted without approval in seeking a clinic. I nominate Firethunder for a Patriot Award this evening. Here's a clip from her speaking to Air America's Christabel and Sia Boadi earlier today.
There is no clinic. The reason why I offered to provide that service on my land, was to challenge if the ban upheld in the state of South Dakota, it would be a place for women to come.
So there are still some patriots who actually care not just about fetal life, but women's life and the life of the communities in which those women live. I'll find some other patriots to celebrate before the end of the night, but when we come back, I'll take your nominations. On 866-303-2270, lawyers, librarians? What do you think? 866-303-2270, your favorite patriot of the night. It's July 4th weekend. I'm Laura Flanders sitting in for Mike Malloy.
And I think it's time we got serious about peace. Thousands of Iraqis and U.S. soldiers are suffering every day in a senseless war in Iraq. So Independence Day, hundreds of moms are going to put their own bodies on the line in a historic hunger strike against the war, organized by Code Pink. They're going to Washington, D.C. to eat their last meal on July 3rd at 5 o'clock in front of the White House. But you can fast wherever you are in your own community. All the info is at TroopsHomeFast.org. TroopsHomeFast.org.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-858-5800 for The Forward. That's 800-858-5800.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
I'm Laura Flanders sitting in for Mike Malloy. Hi, Mike. How are you doing? Thanks for letting me sit in your chair. It's been a pleasure to be here all week. Such an honor to sit in your stead here in front of the mic here at Air America Radio. We are blogging and streaming at a site you may not be familiar with, although thousands of people are there right now. RadioNation.org is the website, RadioNation.org. We're glad to have you. I guess you're getting along, all you Mike Malloy listeners, with our Radio Nation show bloggers. I guess we have built alliances and made friendships and cultivated community all in a week. Isn't that great? All right, I nominate you all as patriots and the process of blogging as patriotic, too. All right, you can find the blog at RadioNation.org. You can write to me, Laura@AirAmericaRadio.com. And a lot of people have both written and called nominating patriots this July 4th weekend. A woman with a great name of Laura wrote in, "Last night I met a true patriot, Marie Runyon. She's 91 years old, has vision and hearing impairments, yet Marie has left the comforts of her home to take a regional bus tour with her peaceful colleagues, the Granny Peace Brigade. They're on their way to D.C. to protest the occupation of Iraq. She's inspired me and others that we need to be active and fight for our democracy and the rights of others. Now I know I must make time in my life for what is truly important." Well put, Laura. Thanks a lot. All right, let's take some of your nominations. Sadie Sullivan at our board, our music maestra, nominated two guests that we have on the program. One you just heard from her, Cecilia Fire Thunder. She tried to maintain her community's health services by promising to build a clinic for women in her South Dakota Oglala Sioux reservation. But unfortunately, some of the old guys, let's just say, in her tribal council have voted her out of her chiefdom. She hasn't given up the ghost yet, though. She'll be back to fight another day. Sadie Sullivan is also nominating Aaron Watada, the commissioned officer, the first one to refuse to return to Iraq. He says the war's illegal. We'll talk to his father later on tonight. So let's go to your nominations on the line. We've got Jason in Pennsylvania, and I'm going to ask you to be brief. Hi, Jason. Welcome.
I just wanted to nominate Ambassador Joe Wilson because he's one of the first people to actually stand up and tell the truth whenever all the nation was against him and thought we should go to war.
Great idea. You know what, Sadie, how do you feel like making a list on the blog as people present patriots? Because, boy, I think we need a little encouragement. So we have Marie Runyon from Grannies for Peace. We have Joe Wilson. Great idea, Jason. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's go to Mary in Mississippi. Hi, Mary.
Oh, hello, Laura. Thank you for taking this call. I'll keep this one brief. I work with the working poor here in Mississippi who toil in anonymity, but they persist, they're loyal, they're patriotic, and they're religious. So I nominate the working poor here in Mississippi.
All right. Very good nomination. And we'll get a report later about who it is that's rebuilding our Gulf Coast. And those are the people. That's who's
right.
Doing it. It's not the highfalutin contractors. It's not the big celebrities who promised to come down and put everything to rights and got a lot of attention for their trips in and out. You're right. Who is actually pulling those communities together is the people who live there.
Thanks so much.
And the people who are looking after each other. Thanks so much. Preston in Denver. Hey, Preston.
Hi, Laura. I'd like to nominate Sheldon Drobny, the person who put so much of an investment into creating Air America, and has given a platform to the Tom Paines and Emma Goldmans of our day.
All right.
And also to all the people around the country who are creating more independent, more popular media like that, the community radio stations, the progressive journals like Mother Jones, and the subscribers, and people who are putting what they can into the effort to overcome this more military and elite-minded media that we have. In fact, you combine all the popular media of our magazines, Democracy Now!, Air America, and it's actually larger than the viewership of Fox.
Yeah, I hate to tell those folks over there at Fox and CNN, but you know what? We are the mainstream.
Exactly.
Thanks for the call, Preston.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Debbie in Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Debbie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well.
I think that, John Mercer really started the movement that it was okay to start talking about how bad this war is and bringing our troops home.
All right. I think that's another excellent nomination. Nobody could have differ with that, could they?
I'm sorry?
Nobody could differ with that nomination, I don't think, this year. I mean, there's also a man who had the courage to say he felt like he was wrong. And how often do we see men doing that, period, let alone men in Congress?
Exactly. Exactly. Laura, thank you for what you do, because I'm an angry Democrat, and I really appreciate your effort.
I appreciate it. All right, so how are we doing with our list? We have Joe Wilson, Marie Runyon, the working people, working class poor of Mississippi, the Sheldon Drobny and all those who are building our rebel media forces, and Jack Murtha. That's what I've heard so far. All right, let's hear another one. Jeff in Detroit. Hey, Jeff, welcome.
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy. Justice Anthony Kennedy voted against the conservative wing in the Supreme Court and saved the Constitution.
Now, which decision are you thinking of in particular?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, we lost him there. Richard in California. Hey, Richard, welcome.
Yes, I recommend Commander Swift, defending the Constitution.
One of the lawyers defending Hamdan last night.
Yes.
Yesterday,
just like John Adams defending the British after the Boston Massacre.
Yeah, he looked pretty impressive there in the papers today, there in his uniform, military attorney defending the Guantanamo detainee and his right to be brought in front of a regular military court, not one of these special tribunals established out of the whim of our president.
He's a true patriot.
I think you're right. All right, thanks for that nomination, Richard. All right, we haven't got a whole lot more time, but let's take a few more. Derek in Burlington, Vermont.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, yeah, well, a lot of Americans probably don't recognize this soul, but Stephen Colbert for his beautiful speech.
So you're thinking about at the reporters' dinner.
Yeah, the correspondence dinner.
Correspondence dinner when he just took on Bush.
Sure, a lot of Americans saw the lookalike of our wonderful president, but a lot of them might not have heard what he had to say, Colbert had to say.
He was gutsy, wasn't he?
Oh, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah, and you know, going back to the call of the gentleman that recommended Drobny and the independent media, there's an example of the New York Times the next day, for example, the paper the White House now loves to hate. They covered the correspondence dinner and only reported on the Bush lookalike. They never even mentioned the Colbert performance. It was independent media that made that speech one of the most seen and heard things online that week, and it became a phenomenon that everybody was talking about. It could not have happened without the folks in our independent media, from Media Matters to Alternate to Common Dreams, you name it, and Air America Radio. It really made a difference there. People got to see that would never have even known it happened otherwise. Thanks for that, Derek. Appreciate it. Reminded me just again of the importance of our indie media. All right, folks, I want you to stay where you are, all right? If you've got a nomination to make, I want you to stay right there. We've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go to Gaza, and we're going to hear from a woman trying to maintain a hospital under siege. We're going to think. I'm going to try to think a little bit about what it must actually be like to be under siege like that. We've heard a lot of rhetoric, and we'll hear more this weekend about violence and war and invasions and occupations. For this moment, I want us to just try to imagine what it's like for the people. Try to put the politics aside for just a sec and hear the human there. Let's hope we can get her on the line. And then at the top of the next hour, we'll come back with more of your nominations to cheer us back up again, okay? All right, I'm Laura Flanders, sitting in for Mike Malloy. Stay tuned, we'll return. I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, whip-headed politics. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Charlie Pickett here for Amdro. Now, I don't know anybody that likes ants. That's why you need to know about Amdro Ant Block. Ant Block keeps ants out of your house, and it wipes them out where they live, outside. Just sprinkle Amdro Ant Block around the foundation of your home. You see, ant flocks are bait. Ants take it back to the colony where they share it and die, even the queen. Amdro Ant Block. Stop them on the outside before they come inside.
Hey, True Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021 or visit their website, ffrf.org.
Mostly targeting the northern part of the Gaza Strip, Israel says it is firing at open fields used by Palestinian militants as launching areas to fire rockets from Gaza into Israel. And the Israeli Air Force continues to carry out multiple airstrikes, more than 30 in the past 24 hours.
That from CNN, the latest news today. Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Hanini said that the Israeli government is using the abduction of Corporal Gilad Shalit as an excuse to topple the Palestinian Hamas-led government. This, as the AP reports, that Palestinian so-called militants are now demanding that Israel end its military offensive in Gaza and release 1,000 prisoners from Israeli jails. Israeli forces have picked up a large number of Palestinian members of parliament and government officials and are holding them in detention. Militants, in fact, seem to be everywhere in this story. But what about the people who are actually living tonight under siege? Our next guest, Dr. Mona El-Farah, is a physician living in Gaza. She told our producer earlier today that one of her friends, whose home is close to the Interior Ministry, was hit during that very attack. She's joining us now from Gaza. She runs a blog, fromgaza.blogspot.com. Dr. El-Farah, thank you for joining us. Please describe your situation. Where are you tonight?
I'm in Gaza City, and just 1 hour ago, at least three air raids was on Gaza City. The jet fighters broke through the sound barrier, sonic bombing, and this is very horrible and terrifying. I jumped out of my bed, and my daughter came jumping off her bed, clinging to me. I call this collective punishment. 1.5 population of residents in Gaza are suffering from this sonic bombing for the last 4 days, and they did it before 2 months ago. And several organizations asked the Israeli government to stop this because this is traumatizing and terrifying for us all, especially children. This is one thing. Another thing, the power has been cut off for the last 4 days. We have no power, or to be more specific, in my flat I have patchy power. At least, for example, in the last 4 days, I have power daily for only 2 to 3 hours daily, and this is very bad. This is in my where I live, but in other areas in the Gaza Strip, people don't have power at all. Mm. No power, no water as well.
What about
this is alarming.
What about this hospitals, Dr. El-Farah? We hear about the leadership. We hear about the battles. It's as if sometimes that when a conflict happens, regular life stops, but it doesn't. Tell us about the hospital that you work in. How is it functioning, and how are the people there just dealing with daily life?
The hospitals now is run by local generators, and this is run by fuel. And for the last 4 or 5 days now, Israel completely stopped any fuel to run the generators and cars. So we are running our work under pressure, and we have to prioritize our surgical operations, and this is one thing. On the other hand, our medical resources, the medical medications and medical supplies are very scarce, and it is in danger, because not only in the during this raid, in the last 4 months, situation has been deteriorating. People in the hospitals, some because of the ceiling of the Gaza Strip, patients can't go out for treatment. Even we have to be very careful with our medications and our drug stores in the hospitals. So we are working under great pressure in the hospitals. Besides the air raids, increased number of casualties. At this right now, the number of casualties, we don't have mass casualties. The situation is there is constant attack against the infrastructure in Gaza Strip. The number of casualties is not increasing. Not recorded to have so many casualties.
Mm. But we are. But we've seen the, as you said, the cutoff of all fuel that could endanger the ability of hospitals, any number of social institutions to be able to power their generators, and of course the power plant has been bombed. Back to you for a second, Dr. El-Farah. What do the people there have in the way of hope? Are you hopeful that this particular episode will end?
I'm not hopeful at all. I'm frustrated like others, but I can't say I'm frustrated because I'm working in different fields. I need to be strong and to stay strong. But normal people are frustrated. Normal people, we live in under war now. It is war going on, but we're war with imbalanced power. As if it is war between Israel and the militiamen, but the case is not like that. These militiamen, with their hosting this the soldier should be released, okay? But at the same time, people feel strongly here in Gaza Strip that the prisoners should be released too, and Israel has no right to attack the power, the electrical power plant, have no right to attack the water pumps. The water pumps have been attacked yesterday in Rafah in the south and in Jabalia in the north.
Mm.
So it is war crime. I wonder why people, why the world is silent. They are attacking us with American tax money. I don't know why people are silent till now.
Both the UN and the White House have refrained from saying anything today on this story. What is your message to people in this country? There's obviously a difference between the American people and our government. A lot of people here are very concerned about what's happening. And at the same time, we have a government that isn't modeling very different behavior from your own when it comes to occupation and answering violence with violence. I'm thinking of the Israeli government as well as the Palestinian. What is your message to the people here?
First, I know there's a difference between people and government, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who are sympathizing or at least they're against war. My message to the people that the origin of the problem is the occupation and the occupying force, and this is run by one so-called democratic regime in the area, which is Israel. How come Israel can be democratic country and occupying force? Second message to the people, this is their tax money. Israel is using the American ordinary people tax money to attack civilian Palestinian people in Gaza and right now. And my message to the people that we should stop that. Negotiation should start between Palestinian people and Israel. This is the solution.
How do we, both Israeli government and the U.S. government, tell the people they take actions like this of occupation and invasion in order to protect the security of the people? And there are many people in both our countries, of Israel and the U.S., who believe that and believe that we are in danger. Your message to that, is there an alternative to fighting back?
The alternative is peace and negotiation. Israel will not regain its security by attacking Palestinians, and this was the case since the disengagement plan, since Israel withdraw physically from Gaza Strip. Actually, they withdraw, but they are still controlling Gaza. Neither building the wall in the West Bank or all these raid attacks against Gaza gave Israel security. The only hope for both of us in Israel and in Palestine, negotiation and going for peace, and this should start by stopping the attack against Gaza.
All right, I got to let you go. Dr. El Farah, thank you so much for joining us from gaza.blogspot.com. We'll be back and we'll talk about this when we come back. You're listening to
Entrepreneurs. I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Scooter Libby waiting for a decision from the judge in the CIA leak case. The federal judge today says he plans to wait till late August to decide whether he will delay former White House aide I. Lewis Scooter Libby's trial on perjury and obstruction charges in the CIA leak investigation. Libby's attorney asked for the trial, now scheduled to begin January 8th, to be rescheduled for February 12th, 2007. He said he's worried that he won't be done with an unrelated trial, which is supposed to start in California in September. U.S. District Judge Reggie Walton said he'll wait to rule on the request till the judge in the California case holds a conference on the status of the trial August 31st and sets a schedule. Meantime, Judge Walton ordered lawyers in Libby case to keep their calendars open for the trial to start between January 8th and February 12th and the 4 to 5 weeks following each of those dates. Libby was charged last October with lying to the FBI and a federal grand jury about how he learned and when he subsequently told three reporters about CIA officer Valerie Plame. Libby faces 5 counts of perjury, false statements, and obstruction of justice. The man first nominated by George Bush to head Homeland Security pleaded guilty today on ethics charges. Former New York City Police Commissioner Bernard Kerik pleading guilty to 2 misdemeanor charges, admitting he accepted tens of thousands of dollars in gifts while he was the top cop in New York City. A plea deal spares Kerik jail time so he can keep his new career as a Mideast security consultant. He's been ordered to pay $221,000 in fines. Kerik admitted accepting $165,000 worth of renovations on his Bronx apartment from a company trying to do business with the city of New York. This New Jersey construction firm has alleged ties to organized crime. Kerik's close friend, former business partner, ex-mayor Rudy Giuliani, said he was unaware of links to the company. Giuliani also said the guilty pleas do not diminish Kerik's accomplishments. A spokesman says the U.S. military has just cracked open a criminal investigation into the killings of 4 Iraqi family members. Another military official says 5 soldiers are accused of raping a young woman, killing her and 3 members of her family, and burning the woman's body. A U.S. official close to the investigation says at least one of the soldiers from the 502nd Infantry Regiment has admitted his role in the incident south of Baghdad back in March and has been arrested. This is Air America Radio News.
for Mike Malloy. It is the weekend before the July 4th holiday. I'm asking, will we ever learn? Are we learning from what we see happening in our world tonight? Are we ready to learn the lesson yet? Listen to the woman from Gaza. Do occupations make for good relations? I don't think so. There's a Palestinian wondering how a country that claims to be a democracy can occupy another people's land. I wonder the same thing myself. George Washington wondered the same thing himself. What is this holiday about if it's not about commemorating, remembering, reinscribing into our consciences the motivations that brought this country of ours into being? What was it that George Washington, who, let's face it, was definitely considered a terrorist by the British? I mean, this is a guy who in 1776 asked the Continental Congress for permission to burn New York. Why? To stop the city from being used to quarter troops, to house troops arriving via the British fleet. He didn't get the permission, but his soldiers still set a quarter of the whole town ablaze. So definitions change. What George Washington said was that the greatest danger facing the newly free nation of the United States would be any step that, quote, entangled our peace and prosperity in the toils of European ambition, rivalship, interest, humor, or caprice. He said, our goal is to maintain relations of peace and amity towards other nations. That's how we would survive. He warned that the new United States would pay with a portion of its independence for involving itself in, quote, projects of hostility instigated by pride, ambition, and other sinister and pernicious motives. Well, where are we today as a nation? Where is our reputation? Where is the torch once raised by the revolutionaries that we remember this July 4th weekend, raised to the world in defiance of tyranny, raised to the world in defiance of unitary executive power? What's happened to it? Now we have a country that, if the polls are to be believed, and I'm referring to a Pew study earlier this month, people in Europe and Muslim countries see the U.S. policy in Iraq as a bigger threat to the planet than Iran's nuclear weapons program, or nuclear program. We don't know if there are any weapons involved. What's happened to our reputation? What's happened to the United States of Tom Paine and George Washington? Was it perfect? No, it wasn't. We know definitions of democracy change too. But this country, as I see it, which is why I think the Democratic Party's language of let's take America back is such baloney and so wrong-headed, this country didn't have a golden age. It has had a progression from aspiration to greater realization of those aspirations over the years, right? So they called themselves a democracy in the revolutionary time. 1776, they called themselves a democracy when you could only vote if you were a man that owned property and, well, you weren't in jail. You had to be white, of course. There were a lot of other things you couldn't be. We've gradually expanded our notion, not our notion, but our the reality of that promise. We've fought to stretch the reality to get that bit closer to the ideal. But the promise was always there. What's happened to that promise today? What do you think people associate with the United States today? How is an Israeli peacenik going to talk to his prime minister today? Against occupation, when the most powerful country on the planet is behaving exactly the same way? How is an Israeli peacenik or a Palestinian peacenik going to speak to their leaders and say violence is not a solution to violence when the most powerful democracy on the planet says the way we will survive and protect our security is by taking and imperiling yours? I don't know. You tell me. I'd like to be celebrating. So in the spirit of celebration, we are taking your nominations for Patriot, because there are patriots out there.
all across this land. And in the days, in the next few days, we're going to see more and more women and other people brought by Code Pink and other groups to Washington, D.C. The Grannies for Peace will be there. There are people going on hunger strike. There are a lot of people in this country who have way more work than they can handle on their plates, way more debts than they can bear, and still they're mobilizing for peace. Still, when all the media tells them they would be utterly alone and marginalized if they did so, they say no to what they see going on around them. They express dissent where nowhere is dissent endorsed in our media today. That so-called mainstream media, I call it the extreme media. Or really, I call it the independent media because it's independent of reality. We're the real thing. All right, let's take some nominations for Patriot. I'm literally going by who's been on the line the longest. That's the order I'm following. Matthew in New York. Hey, Matthew.
Oh, hello. Again, a nominee. Charlie Sheen, Two and a Half Men.
Wait.
He was one of the first celebrities to speak out about 9/11, and he attended a big 9/11 conference in Los Angeles, California.
Charlie Sheen. All right, fair enough. We'll add him to the list. All right, Matthew, thanks for the call. Let's hear from Joe in Orange County, California. Hey, Joe.
Hey, good evening, Laura. Laura, my nominee is Al Gore, and I'm going to tell you why. We are on a small boat in a huge universe. The universe is a very violent place. People think it's not. It's a very violent place. And we are on this teeny-weeny yellow, this blue boat. And Al Gore is right. I mean, what is going to happen to this planet? I mean, we can't get off. We're stuck on it.
We don't know.
And Al Gore's movie points out what's going to happen in the future, and just think, when it comes out on DVD, kids will be able to take it to school, people will be able to spread it all over the country and all over the world as to what's happening to this planet, and you can have a squabble between one country and another, but you know what? We're all in the same boat.
We are, and we can't get off. You're right. We're going to hell in a handbasket.
Okay, Laura.
Al Gore, thanks for that. All right, that's another nominee. Ken in Tucson, Arizona. Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm great. How about yourself,
Laura? I'm okay.
I'd like to nominate the generals, the retired generals that came out and spoke up against, the way the war is being run and asked for Rumsfeld's resignation. That's unprecedented, to my knowledge, in the whole history of the United States, that number of high-ranking military, ex-military officers would publicly challenge policy of an administration.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. We have former commanders from General Shinseki on down or up or along. We also have, I think, their equivalents in a lot of other state institutions. The CIA, for example, how many intelligence officers stepping forward and opposing this administration? What we're waiting for is an active duty, one of these guys, to leak the documents that could be the Pentagon Papers of this day. That's
but, you know, for an active duty member, for an active duty member to do that, they're really putting a lot. I mean, if you're in a CIA and you do it, you're putting your job on the line. But if you do that when you're active duty, even if you speak out, you can actually be court-martialed.
Oh, I know. Well,
but
don't forget the words
of patriotism.
I'd say so. I mean, let's not forget the words of Dan Ellsberg, the man who did leak the Pentagon Papers. I want to call them the Patriot Papers. You know, he said when he did that, he believed he would go to jail for the rest of his life. Is
yeah.
that how it turned out? But he said, I've heard him say, you know, it's hard for other people to call on active duty people to put their career online, but I can do it because that's what I did. And I wish I'd done it. I wish I had done it, he says, 8 years before I did it, because I could have saved that many lives.
Well, can I make another quick comment?
Yeah.
I was going to say, you made a little statement to another caller about, men don't often admit that they're wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't met too many women that like to admit they're wrong either.
All right. Well, I'm not going to admit I'm wrong on that.
Okay,
thanks a lot, Ken. All right, Sharon in Sacramento. Hi, Sharon.
Hello, Laura. I want to nominate the Western Shoshone Nation in Nevada. If you recall, recently the so-called Divine Strike, these criminals in Washington wanted to nuke Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly Terry Dan,
has been a very outspoken activist and was among 45 people that were arrested for what's called an act of civil disobedience.
And they not only protested, they actually got the test at least delayed, maybe even stopped. What do you think?
Oh, they're real heroes.
Yep.
I just can't say enough for them.
All right, the Western Shoshone, they're not going to have that detonation of the next generation of nuclear weapons or non-nuclear weapons on their land. They're not going to have it. And if we supported them more, we might not have those kinds of detonations anywhere, because look around the country, disproportionately our military testing grounds are on native lands.
Yes,
all right.
Exactly.
Thank you, Sharon. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I was very impressed with them when I was out in Nevada last. All right, Larry in Arizona. Hey, Larry.
Hello, I could nominate Randy Rhodes and everybody, actually everybody on the face of this earth who has her spirit, because that's the spirit that's going to give us a chance to survive.
It's spirit, it's heart with a little bit of guts.
But she's got a lot of guts, and she's got a lot of smarts. And
yeah.
I'm worried about this fasting, because, like, one time I went on hunger strike for 10 days. It was only 10 days, but I never really fully recovered from it. And I'm really worried. We need our strong people. We need our strong people to stay strong. We need to bring more people into the fight. I really think we should have a world congress of normal people. That's the people that want to be free and not people that want to do violence and profit from the chaos that they create with all the violence. There's a lot of this violence. It's just being created just so that they can tear everybody apart and
You're
then
right,
take
Larry.
Advantage of us.
Thank you. What was it that Eugene Debs said, the founder of the Socialist Party of the United States? He said, there was never a war declared by the working people of a nation on the working people of another nation. Leave it up to the people. We wouldn't choose this to go this way. All right. Thanks for the call. We'll take more of your calls when we come back. Boy, there's a lot of nominations coming in. We're blogging and streaming at radionation.org. Follow the links for the blog there on the top right-hand side of the page. That's radionation.org. And you can write to me, laura@airamericaradio.com. A little bit later in this hour, we will hear from Reverend Yearwood of the Hip Hop Caucus on the Gulf Coast Renewal Campaign, just who it is that's actually rebuilding the Gulf and who isn't. All that and more coming up here on The Mike Malloy Show. Stay tuned.
Listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
We're back. I'm Laura Flanders, blogging and streaming at RadioNation.org, and we have a lot of nominations for Patriot of the Night. Riverbend from Baghdad Burning, the blog. Some of the JAG attorneys who've been standing up to the Senate and the administration over the question of military tribunals. There are nominations, too, coming in via email, including one from Henry, who is emailing us from Chile, where he is streaming the program in Chile. Wow, that's exciting. He nominates Cindy Sheehan, in my humble estimation, one of the great patriots of the decade. All right, so the patriot nominations are coming in. We're cheering ourselves up by reminding ourselves of the good folks that are out there with, heck, not that much support. But they're out there anyway. And Steve Rosenfeld, our producer from RadioNation.org on weekends, the blog says he posted something at Truth Out today. And all I can say is that guy is supposed to be on vacation. What is he doing posting things? Will somebody please get him to go on vacation? All right. Your calls. I'm going in order of who's waited longest. Judy in Durango, Colorado. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm all right.
Good. Listen, I wanted to nominate Neil Young because I think he's had a lot to do with people realizing it's okay to do the protest music again.
Yeah, impeach the president.
I'm in my 60s. I remember the Vietnam War well, and I think the music really, really helped.
You need a soundtrack for your evolution. Absolutely. Judy, thank you. I'm going to move through a few more calls before the bottom of the hour. Steve in Massachusetts. Hey, Steve.
Hi, how are you? I was going to say the Dixie Chicks for, the first song or the only one I know about is I'm Not Ready to Make Nice Again.
That is a great song, I have to say.
Fantastic song, but just that, to me, that expresses my feeling that I'm not going to rush back when we finally win, which we're going to. I'm not going to rush back into their arms.
Please don't.
We've got to, and I think we really got to talk a lot of the centrists into not rushing back into a lovey-dovey thing with them, because there's going to have to be years of repair of the damage that was done.
You're absolutely right, and we're going to hear about some of the very concrete repair in just a bit when we go to the Gulf. I'm reminded of Chuck D's song, We're Not All Right. Hell no, we're not all right, he said, about those who had endured and survived Katrina. I thank you for the call, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve in Washington. Hey, Steve.
Hey, you are. Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Okay. I want to nominate Mr. Berg, who lost his son.
Mm-hmm.
Because he makes the fake Christians so uncomfortable, because he understands there can't be strength without mercy.
That's right. Nick Berg, who's now running for office on the Green Party ticket, I think, in his home state, and he stood up and he said he didn't want more violence avenging his son. I thank you for the call. Good idea. Earl on the line in Michigan. Hey, Earl, your nomination.
Hi, Laura. I have to say, by your own rights, everyone at Air America are great patriots for setting the record straight and countering the lies of the right. But since I have to pick one, I would like to nominate Bobby Kennedy Jr.
All right, you got it. We'll continue this when we come back, and we'll be joined by Reverend Yearwood. We've got a lot of nominations. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show.
They say Daniel's everything. I'm through with doubt.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
I'm Bob Harris to tell you about my new Smart Balance Omega Plus Light Mayonnaise with flax oil and plant sterols. New Smart Balance Omega Mayo has 500 milligrams of omega-3s per serving, natural plant sterols to help offset cholesterol, and half the fat and calories of regular mayonnaise. Enjoy my new Smart Balance Omega Light Mayonnaise in salads and sandwiches. You get an omega-3 wallop in every tasty dollop of my new Smart Balance Light Mayonnaise.
left for me to dig around. I paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is you think I should.
There you have it. You nominated the Dixie Chicks as a patriot, or as patriots, this July 4th weekend, and we just happen to have them on hand. We're talking about, as we look into this weekend, where we are supposedly commemorating and celebrating the founding of this country, we're asking, what state are we in? And I'll tell you, as we look for patriots, you'll find a lot on the Gulf Coast. What do we see as a situation down there? Well, they're still finding dead bodies. Over 200,000 people haven't yet made it back to New Orleans alone. New Orleans is now whiter, more affluent than it was. Thousands of homes, however, remain exactly the same, just as they were as the floodwaters of Katrina receded. Not a single dollar of federal housing repair or home reconstruction money seems to have made it yet. 70,000 families in Louisiana are living in 240 square foot FEMA trailers. We're talking almost a year after the hurricane, people. The only thing this government has been quick about has been privatizing public services. Education, housing, healthcare, you name it. We're going to talk about who's actually renewing the Gulf Coast, who's doing the work, who are the heroes, who are the patriots down there, and what are they up against? Because we are looking at another hurricane season already on its way. And for all the attention that has gone to flooding in the Northeast this week, where is the attention to those who have yet to come anywhere near recovery in the Gulf? Reverend Lennox Yearwood is CEO of the Hip Hop Caucus and National Coordinator of the Gulf Coast Renewal Campaign. Reverend, glad to have you back on the program.
Glad to be here.
You've got any patriots you want to nominate this weekend?
Oh, I have about 300,000 that I can add to the list.
Tell us who they are.
Well, you know, one of the things, and Laura, it's always a pleasure to be with you on the air, is that yesterday marked the 10-month anniversary after Hurricane Katrina hit the shores of the Gulf Coast and devastated New Orleans and the flooding after the levees. And one of the things there is that I have been working since that day for 10 months straight, me being born in the boot, as we call it, from being from Louisiana, 10 months straight working with people. And I can tell you that to be fragmented, to be isolated, to have lost all of your identity, to have lost all your personal dignity, to have really lost your self-worth, to have the country that you pay taxes to criminalize you and put you down because of a natural disaster. It is amazing to me that the spirit of the people of New Orleans and the Gulf Coast continues to rise in spite of the country that they pay their taxes to and continues to put them down.
Mm. Tell us a story from down there these days.
Well, what's going on right now, obviously, is that the people are fighting to return home. I mean, they're literally, regardless of what happens in the media or in the mainstream media, they are fighting to come home. So right now they have a tent city that are beginning to prop up, one of the St. Bernard Parish housing projects. And what you're seeing is that you're seeing people who are demanding to come home. And that they've been that when we that they want to rebuild New Orleans so that it's not just a rich city, but that it is a city full of culture. When New Orleans, before Katrina hit, the majority of New Orleans residents were primarily people of color. There were 5,100 families that lived in public housing units in New Orleans, and only about 1,100 have returned since the storm. So there are about 4,000 families that have not returned. And it's not because they don't want to return, and it's not that the homes cannot be lived in, But the government has put a chain and a locks on these things, refusing to allow people to return home. And so now the people are demanding they're coming. So on July 4th, what you're going to see some real patriots. The people are rising up, and they are going to break in, and they're going to do sit-ins, and they're demanding that they be let back home.
The housing department tells the media, other media, that these buildings, these apartments aren't safe, and besides, the people living there would benefit from rebuilding in a more mixed economy kind of way.
I mean, the thing here is this, is that, you know, what's so sad about this is that, first and foremost, in the richest country in the world, how we treat people who don't have the same needs. That's just one of the saddest things that can be, that is there. And what is wrong here is that that's just not true. The homes that we're talking about obviously do. I mean, there's probably some damages that was slight damages from obviously the wind damages, but nothing that can't be fixed. People can't return back home. And this needs to be changed. This has to be changed. You know something, Laura, one of the things interesting about this whole process is this. You know, yesterday marked 10 months since Katrina hit. And one of the things about that is that we are putting billions of dollars into this war. We're putting billions of dollars into so many different things except for the resources here in this country. If we just stopped the war for one day, we could effectively bring the people home, and then they want to rebuild them, they could do that. Mm. If they stopped it for 2 days, they could literally, you know, just they could rebuild other housing units throughout the country. If 3 days goes by, they can literally begin to repair almost all of the housing, put people in housing around this country, not just in New Orleans and on the Gulf Coast. These is where the resources for this country is going.
Mm. Where is how are we spending our treasure? I think was one of the questions Dr. King asked. It's as good a question now as it ever was. One of the most outrageous things I've seen in the last couple of weeks, and boy, the list is tough, the competition is tough, is the timing of a couple of things. The very same week that we had the Department of Housing and Urban Development announce their plans to demolish those public housing apartments, 5,000 units that you're talking about, it was the very same week that we got headline after headline after headline about, well, those who claim to be victims of Katrina had actually cheated FEMA. Do you think people bought this? And how did people there respond to, even as they were fighting for very basic rights, they were being portrayed as kind of criminals? Boy, if we want to talk about bilking the government, shouldn't it have been the contractors that got the headlines?
No, I was just getting ready to say, if you wanted to see, this is the thing that the people, and this is something that we have to deal with in the progressive movement. I will say this, in the progressive movement, the way that we have treated the aftermath of Katrina is not well either. You know, and I we need to deal with that, and I thank thanks so much for you in this process and so many others who are bringing this through the media waves. But and so many times Katrina has not only gone off on the conservative side by design, but we're not having these discussions on the left as well.
Right, I'm with you. I mean, this is one of those situations where, you know, the right managed to nationalize the smallest incident and make it a national concern. We have here a situation that couldn't have revealed more clearly everything wrong in this nation. And yet, where is the attention coming even from those who, for very short, potentially calculated, strategic reasons, might have had a cause to say, this is the evidence of everything that's wrong, and that's why we need to change?
I mean, this is exactly it. And so we have to really, on this side of the aisle, really take some stock into how we are looking at this and how we're fighting this. Because let me say this, as I said, as we approach this independence Day coming up in this Independence Day weekend, and we have new patriots, as you put them. And you know, it's funny, and let me just say this, that one of the interesting things about that whole process, you know, recently there was there's a school in Virginia that people kind of heard about now because of the basketball, but it was called George Mason University. Mm-hmm. And George Mason was one of the crafters. People might not know about George Mason. George Mason was one of the crafters of the Constitution. And in crafting the Constitution, he wanted the abolishment of slavery. And he had owned slaves. He said, well, he found it was wrong. He said, we got to put that into the Constitution. They would not take that. And what's interesting is that then he himself would not sign the Constitution. The same time he helped put together, he would not sign it. What's interesting is the nickname, the college nickname for George Mason is the Patriots. Hmm. And so what's needed now is that same type of patriot. We need to have that. Those are the true patriots, those who stand up to the injustice. Those are the true patriots, those who see what is wrong and speak out. Those who make their own lives uncomfortable. And so what you're seeing here is that these people could, I said before, they could just give up. They could just go away. They could be criminalized. They could be, you know, continue to just marginalize in society. But instead, you know, they're still fighting for really nothing. I mean, yeah, they're fighting for what people would consider nothing. But because it deals with what is their last bit of human dignity, what deals with their last bit of self-worth, they're fighting. Mm. And so you're seeing that in independent. So I'm encouraged. And I'm
all right. Well, stay right there. Retain that encouraged attitude, and we will return to you in just a minute. Reverend Lennox Yearwood is CEO of the Hip Hop Caucus and national coordinator of the Gulf Coast Renewal Campaign. If you want to get out of your comfort zone for a moment and feel that feeling that Tom Paine talked about of responding, opposing not only the tyranny but the tyrant, then we'll find out how you can help the Gulf Coast Renewal Campaign when we come back. And we'll bring you a clip of a speech by an important man in American history. Have you ever heard of him? Frederick Douglass, speaking about July 4th. Stay tuned. You're listening to
La 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 La. Dear Mr. President, come take a walk with me.
Come take a walk with me.
Let's pretend we're just two people and you're not better than me. I'd like to ask you some questions if we can speak honestly. What do you feel when you see all the homeless on the street? Who do you pray for at night before you go to sleep? What do you feel when you look in the mirror? Are you proud? How do you sleep while the rest of us cry? Chance to say goodbye. How do you walk with your head held high? Can you even look me in the eye and tell me why?
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read The Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-858-5800 for The Forward. That's 800-858-5800.
Of political freedom and of natural justice embodied in that Declaration of Independence extended to us? And am I therefore called upon to bring our humble offering to the national altar and to confess the benefits and express devout gratitude for the blessings resulting from your independence to us? Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us. The blessings in which you this day rejoice are not enjoyed in common. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, and independence bequeathed by your fathers is shared by you, not by me. The sunlight that brought light and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. This 4th of July is yours, not mine.
Those are the words of Frederick Douglass, the great American abolitionist, educator, orator, author, statesman, as performed by Brian Jones in a reading a week ago from the speech, The Meaning of July 4th for the Negro. It was delivered in 1852, and Brian, along with myself and a whole lot of other people, participated in a performance about a week and a half ago now, Voices from a People's History of the United States. The speech begins, "Fellow citizens, pardon me, allow me to ask, why am I called upon to speak here? What do I or those I represent have to do with your national independence?" And then he goes on. It's a great speech, worth reading, people. We've been to Gaza. We will go to Hawaii before the night is out. We're going to hear from Bob Wattada, the father of Aaron Wattada, the first commissioned officer to refuse to return to Iraq. Right now, we are at least metaphysically in the Gulf, speaking with Reverend Yearwood, who is national coordinator of the Gulf Coast Renewal Campaign. He's calling on us, people, this July 4th, to show our patriotism, not by just mouthing the rhetoric, not just by remembering the high aspirations of a nation that would treat its people better and more equally than colonial regimes do, but actually to make ourselves a little uncomfortable by remembering that this nation is not all doing okay. In fact, this nation, a whole bunch of it, is in really sad shape. And we have a responsibility here. Reverend Yearwood, what can people do if they want to participate with the Gulf Coast Renewal Campaign? And what can they do while their representatives are home for the July 4th break to force this issue back? It's not an issue. This situation back onto the agenda.
Well, if they want to get involved, one of the things, they will be doing the civil disobedience. So obviously we're always looking for more attorneys to work with, because the people are going to get arrested. They're fighting for their lives, and so
you're talking July 4th when the folks you described are going to try to retake their public housing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. But more importantly, I would say that we need to continue, wherever you are around the country, you need to continue to make sure you bring this to your local representatives. You need to continue to, you know, there were 170 pieces of legislation that were drafted for Katrina, and only 12 pieces that passed. And all of them, unfortunately, were very partisan. I'll just say that. And were in the very beginning stages of nothing for. So you need to call your representatives to remind them to still keep Katrina survivors on the front part of their desk, not on the back burner. But if people want to get involved, definitely, as you know, they should definitely email Diane, who can definitely give them more information. And Diane's email is diane@hiphopcaucus.org.
All right. You can also go to hiphopcaucus.org, I believe, and get more information. Listen, folks, it is July 4th weekend coming up. It's the weekend you celebrate family, and by extension, you celebrate the national family. Our family, for all the talk about family values, is in sad shape. Are these the family values you aspire to, you cherish, you practice vis-a-vis your family? This is our family, people. We'll be back. Reverend Yearwood, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more family. Aaron Wattada's father, Bob, he was a military resistor too, interestingly enough. And we'll take more of your nominations for Real Patriot this weekend. I'm Laura Flanders, sitting in for Mike Malloy. You're listening to Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old, and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor, and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Scooter Libby waiting for a decision from the judge in the CIA leak case. The federal judge today says he plans to wait till late August to decide whether he will delay former White House aide I. Lewis Scooter Libby's trial on perjury and obstruction charges in the CIA leak investigation. Libby's attorney asked for the trial, now scheduled to begin January 8th, to be rescheduled for February 12th, 2007. He said he's worried that he won't be done with an unrelated trial, which is supposed to start in California in September. U.S. District Judge Reggie Walton said he'll wait to rule on the request till the judge in the California case holds a conference on the status of the trial August 31st and sets a schedule. Meantime, Judge Walton ordered lawyers in Libby case to keep their calendars open for the trial to start between January 8th and February 12th and the 4 to 5 weeks following each of those dates. Libby was charged last October with lying to the FBI and a federal grand jury about how he learned and when he subsequently told three reporters about CIA officer Valerie Plame. Libby faces 5 counts of perjury, false statements, and obstruction of justice. The man first nominated by George Bush to head Homeland Security pleaded guilty today on ethics charges. Former New York City Police Commissioner Bernard Kerik pleading guilty to 2 misdemeanor charges, admitting he accepted tens of thousands of dollars in gifts while he was the top cop in New York City. A plea deal spares Kerik jail time so he can keep his new career as a Mideast security consultant. He's been ordered to pay $221,000 in fines. Kerik admitted accepting $165,000 worth of renovations on his Bronx apartment from a company trying to do business with the city of New York. This New Jersey construction firm has alleged ties to organized crime. Kerik's close friend, former business partner, ex-mayor Rudy Giuliani, said he was unaware of links to the company. Giuliani also said the guilty pleas do not diminish Kerik's accomplishments. A spokesman says the U.S. military has just cracked open a criminal investigation into the killings of 4 Iraqi family members. Another military official says 5 soldiers are accused of raping a young woman, killing her and 3 members of her family, and burning the woman's body. A U.S. official close to the investigation says at least one of the soldiers from the 502nd Infantry Regiment has admitted his role in the incident south of Baghdad back in March and has been arrested. This is Air America Radio News. We'll be right back.
Sitting in for Mike Malloy. You're listening to Air America Radio. We've got a nomination contest. It's not really a contest. We're compiling a list of people that you would nominate as true patriots tonight. Okay, we haven't got the sort of anti-patriot list, but on that list you would find folks like, well, the members of the Bush-Cheney crime family. So if the Bushes and the Cheneys at all are not the patriots, at least not in the spirit of anti-imperialist George Washington, anti-tyranny Tom Paine et al., pro-equality Frederick Douglass, and all the rest. If those are not the patriots, who are? Who are the patriots in the spirit of the word that we remember this July 4th? Who's on your list? The number is 866-303-2270. There's a lot that's grim happening in the world, and there are a lot of challenges that we face. But against all the odds, I'm always struck by how people nonetheless manage to stand up and resist, even when they're told there's no point, believe that there is a reason to protest, even when they're told they'll be alone, return to New Orleans when they're called, even though there is no housing for them there, no public schools. The government is doing everything they can to make it impossible for the poor and those who made the heart of New Orleans and the heart of the Gulf, make it impossible for them to come back, and still they come. So precious is the community that they had there before. And I want you to think about this for a minute. I mean, what do you do on July 4th weekend? You hang out with family. You barbecue, perhaps. You celebrate being together. What you're doing, I think, as people do at Cinco de Mayo, they do at Thanksgiving, what we're doing is celebrating community. And the moving stories that you will hear over the next 6 days of people returning to New Orleans to celebrate, sure, we are hoping that people will also protest the demolition of public housing, so on and so forth, but the stories of people against all the odds returning to their homes and their neighborhoods deserve attention too, because what that's about, it seems to me, is the way we cherish community. The only possible reason people are going back to New Orleans is because they cherish the neighborhood they have there. They cherish the history they had there. They cherish the culture they had built there. And I just want you to think for a minute, while we've got a government that talks to us constantly about security, what about community? What about connection to other people? We're told about defense from other people and walls and wars and occupation and troops and prisons and jails and military tribunals, but what about connection? Isn't it the connection that we have in our communities that are what we'll risk life and limb for? You talk to the military, you ask people, why do they serve, or why did they stay, or why did they go back? Mostly what they say is, because I felt a commitment to my brothers, my sisters, my unit, my buds. Well, that's the same reason people are going back to New Orleans. And that's the same reason why, as the caller earlier on said, you know, the working class people of Mississippi are helping each other. Rather than move and go and live in some trailer park zone someplace, they're hanging on to that land because what it means. And I don't want to stir up a hornet's nest, but what do you think the Palestinians are about too? It's about, you can't wipe out a people's commitment, people's history, a people's culture in a land. And you certainly can't do it and expect them to go peacefully. We could have known enough about the history of Iraq to know that no occupation, not another occupation by a foreign government, was going to be welcomed as any kind of act of liberation. All you had to do was read the history of that part of the world to know that. And if we weren't convinced by the history of that part of the world, the birthplace of modern agriculture, a proud place with a history, and a culture, and a community, and a connection, well, then all we had to do was look at the history of Israeli occupation. It did not make Israelis safer, has not made Israelis safer. Just as the billions of dollars we've spent on the border trying to keep out immigrants hasn't kept out immigrants either. And no matter how many jails we build, are we building ourselves a safer future? Are we? The patriots, it seems to me today, are the people building community, building connection, trying to break down the barriers that this government is erecting, trying to bring people together when this administration is practicing the art of vilify and scapegoat. The only way they hope to get reelected is by turning us, each one of us, at each other's throats. So it seems to me the best defense against that is for us to actually connect. Just a thought. All right, Patriots, your nomination, Ron. Ron, your nomination for Patriot this weekend.
Good evening. Yes, Katrina Vandenheuvel and the nation definitely get consideration. Is very courageous, and Randy Rhodes too is thoroughly and forever outed President Fruitcake and the gay old party who sashayed into office, you know, on a phony coup occupation. Bush is the Rosie Ruiz of American elections, and we now have a violent pseudo-religious cult. We've got to get rid of Negroponte's death squads out of the Middle East, out of Iraq. They're doing there what they did in Central America, uh-huh. You know. And the whole crock Christianity, Bush has broke back values. He's a sham. He's satanic. Skull and bones.
Well, why don't you tell us what you really think, Ron? Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Kirk in Seattle. Hey, Kirk.
Hi, I don't think I can top that one, but I was just going to mention Patty Murray pretty much votes the way I'd rather her do that than Cantwell out here.
Yeah, she certainly votes better on the war than Maria Cantwell, and she gets rewarded for it.
Yes, and the Supreme Court as well.
Yeah. All right, so. Well, we've had a couple of nominations for Justice Kennedy breaking with his party to defend the Constitution in the Hamdan v. Rumsfeld case. Let's add Patty Murray to that list. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Herb's on the line in Mississippi talking about Katrina. Hi, Herb.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
I'm the one that told you about the VA being shut down.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, what I wanted to say was things are not doing good on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
My sister has told me that she has to carry a gun now because she's always fearful for her life.
Well, so much for community, huh?
So it's not good, man. The contractors are coming in. They're selling dope. I've heard reports that they've been murdering people. It's just a mess down there. And
wait a minute. What makes you think it's the contractors?
Well, I've had two law enforcement personnel down there tell me that they suspect contractors are doing it.
So wait a minute. So while we're being told we have to send National Guards to New Orleans because crime is back courtesy of the contractors?
Part of it is, Alara. I assure you, I know it's hard to believe.
Oh, no, it's not hard to believe. It just hasn't been reported, that's all.
Well, I do a column on it on my site, but I won't. People that listen to the show know my site.
They do.
But,
no, go on. Give us your site information.
Okay. I'm the old Sarge, powersandmorrison.com.
All right, the old Sarge.
And I appreciate you letting me mention it.
Oh, no, I'm going to go check it out. Thanks for the...
I hope you do, because I'm doing a thing right now on Trent Lott, and I do it every Friday. He's running against a really fine man named Eric Fleming, and I hope people will check it out, because Eric's a really good man. He'll stop some of this trash that's going on.
All right, so here's the website, powersandmorrison.com.
That's right, the old Sarge. Oh, of course, any of them's fine. Loki writes for us. People that listen know Loki, and he writes for us from New Orleans.
So what's he saying?
I'm sorry?
What's he saying about the situation?
George Williams, Loki,
yeah.
L-O-K-I.
Yeah, what's he saying about what the situation is in New Orleans?
Oh, he's giving me the same thing that I'm giving him. It's just total chaos. About 16% of New Orleans is rebuilt. The rich are getting priority. The lower-end people are getting shoved out. The middle class is getting squeezed. It's just favoritism. You just get abused if you're not on the higher end of the level.
Well, you know, what worries me, Herb, is that there are so many people, it seems to me, finally using this disaster to accomplish goals they've had in mind for a long time. And whether we're talking the privatization of public education or housing or health care, that seems to be the one thing that's going ahead apace, even as people's houses are still standing exactly as they were 10 months ago.
The casinos are definitely doing it on the coast. A lot of poor people around Point Cadet are getting shoved out because they just can't afford it, and the casinos are using it against us, and people like Lott and Cochran, they're just helping, and the governor helps. I mean, you know, it's just like you're in the middle of nowhere if you're poor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Laura, thank you.
Thank you, Herb.
I appreciate getting the update.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate the update. All right, the number is 866-303-2270. Later in this hour, we'll be joined by Bob Watada, the father of Aaron Watada. Talk about a patriot. Here is a man who has risked his own liberty to resist returning to Iraq, and he'll tell you why. His son, Aaron Watada, the first commissioned officer to return to Iraq. Bob will join us on the phone from Hawaii. It turns out Bob, too, was a conscientious objector of sorts, or he was a conscientious objector of sorts in the Vietnam War, so maybe there's something that runs in the family there. 866-303-2270. We're taking your recommendations, your nominations for the real patriots this weekend as we head into the July 4th holiday. I'm Laura Flanders sitting in for Mike Malloy.
Que viva Chango, que viva Chango, que viva Chango, que viva Chango, señores.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Laura Flanders. This Independence Day, hundreds of people from across the United States will be trying to draw attention to the suffering of Iraqi citizens and U.S. soldiers by beginning a historic hunger strike against the occupation in Iraq. Dick Gregory's doing it, Cindy Sheehan's doing it. They're going to be eating their final meal in front of the White House July 3rd. I'm supporting them. You can too. Find out more on www.troopshomefast.org. That's troopshomefast.org. For Code Pink, I'm Laura Flanders.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021, that's 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.
We'll be right back.
tomorrow would do. Or no, it was good. Yeah, I would do Freedom Now. That would work for me. All right, I'm Laura Flanders, sitting in for Mike Malloy. Let's take some calls. We're going to go to Bob Wittard at the bottom of the hour. Mike in Fort Worth, you've been waiting for a while. Thanks for hanging in there. Mike, are you there? Oh, we lost you. He was waiting for so long, he disappeared. Steven's on the line in New Orleans. Hey, Steven.
Yeah, hello.
I'm
here. I'm Steven. I'm calling from New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing outside my FEMA trailer now, and I can't disagree with your last caller more about what's really going on in New Orleans. I'm an African-American male. My entire family, we lost everything we own, of course, all of us, but we have seen a rebirth of activism in the city. People are engaged and involved, black, white, rich, poor. And some of the conspiracy theorists about the nonsense about the contractors, we have waste and corruption, of course, but it's from the top-down, government-driven contracts that Bush has forced upon us. The Shaw Group and Halliburton and those guys are here.
Uh-huh.
But on a local level, we're fighting it out.
Oh, absolutely. No, I think that's what he meant. I don't think he meant, like, local contractors. I think he meant the people who'd gotten the big contracts from the federal government. Maybe I'm hearing things. That's what I heard it as.
Right. My neighbors and I were listening to Mike Malloy one night, this guy Loki, and there is an element in society that loves to just sit back and, you know, attribute the worst of mankind on a day-to-day basis. But the reality here is the French Quarter, Uptown New Orleans, the historic areas, Faubourg Tremé, the oldest African-American, one of the oldest African-American neighborhoods in America,
mm-hmm.
vibrant and still alive.
Mm.
We have our culture intact. And what's going on from the suburban areas and outlying areas are still flooded. I'm living in one now. I've got a trailer courtesy of FEMA. But we're fighting, and every evening we go to meetings, and, you know, people are together. And it is something exciting to see. Talk about democracy in action. This is what we're doing.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's what my experience was when I was down there last fall, was this was a story of people so caring about community, so caring about connection to their culture and their people that they would do just about anything.
Right, and you know, my family's been here 200 years in the city.
Wow.
We're of French Caribbean Creole heritage. We've been here, and we're not going anywhere. Everyone I know feels the same way.
Yeah, yeah. So what are you gonna do this July 4th, Stephen?
Well, we're gonna barbecue my neighbors outside the trailer. We've got.
Did you just say you're gonna barbecue your neighbors?
We're gonna barbecue with our neighbors. No, we're not from. Never mind. We'll leave it alone.
No, let's leave it alone. Well, listen, I thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it. You know, we have got to bring two messages to the nation, and they're contradictory, it seems, but not really. One is, as you say, people are coming back and there's a rebirth. The other is, you know, only despite the government's kind of failure really to act and our society's failure to put this number one top priority. Both are true, right?
Right, yeah.
All right, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Stephen. Appreciate it. Stay in touch with us. Kevin's on the line in Hartford. Hey, Kevin.
Hi, how are you today?
All right.
I just want to give you three names that I admire a lot, and that's Kathy Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you know who she is.
Voices in the Wilderness?
She's a peace activist, and she went to Iraq during the sanctions regime and brought food and medicine to children and women, and she's... You know, devoted her whole life now to peace activism and against nuclear war and against nuclear weapon plants in this country. And then Scott Ritter and Ray McGovern are the other two.
Yeah, because Scott Ritter, for telling the truth, there were no weapons of mass destruction.
And Ray McGovern, you know, spoke out against the bogus, because they're always talking about intelligence failures, and he's been outspoken that it wasn't intelligence failures, it was cherry-picking. And
cherry-picking intelligence. Yeah, he's with Veterans for a Sane Intelligence. Is that right? Intelligence,
yeah.
Veterans for Sane Policy or something.
Right, and he writes a lot in Truth Out, and he also has been behind a book, Neocon and Neocon Again, which are great, great books to read about this whole mess.
Yeah, I'm at Ray McGovern, 27 years, I think, in intelligence.
CIA,
and,
yep.
Works now, I think you're right, with Intelligence Veterans for Sanity,
yeah,
which I think is about where we're at.
Yeah, and he also helped get two books together, Neocon and Neocon Again, and they're really good volumes to read about the whole Iraq situation.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call.
Yeah, bye-bye.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we'll be joined by Bob Wittada, who will tell us, I think, about a patriot close to his heart, his son, Aaron Wittada, who earlier this month became the first commissioned officer to refuse deployment to Iraq on the basis that he believes the war is legal. We'll find out what's happened to Aaron, and we'll talk to Bob calling in from Hawaii right after the break. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
That I'm thinking of.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Entrepreneur. Smart word. So smart, it's almost a different language. Look it up. Here at Budget Rent-A-Car, we admire entrepreneurs, and not just for their bilingual skills, but also for their courage, and for the big thinking they show by opening a small business and joining the Budget Business Program. Yes, the Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. That's $2 back every day. No wonder Budget won the 2006 Entrepreneur Magazine Business Travel Award as the best car rental value for small businesses. Such an entrepreneur thing to do. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business to sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent Budget and rent like a genius.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
right, we're back. I'm Laura Flanders, sitting in for Mike Malloy here on Air America Radio this Friday evening. I hope you're having a good Friday. The number here is 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. We're blogging and streaming at radionation.org. That's the name of the show that I host weekends, although we'll be doing a best-of program this particular weekend. But we're there normally 7 to 10 p.m., and in fact, the best-of is pretty darn good, so you might want to tune on in. Radionation.org will tell you all about it, and tonight we're blogging and streaming right there. You can also write to me, Laura, L-A-U-R-A, at airamericaradio.com, and I thank everybody who's written in with their nominations for Who's a Patriot? This July 4th weekend. Who are the real patriots? Well, we're going to talk about one in this hour. On Tuesday, June 27th, more than 1,000 supporters in over 30 U.S. cities and towns took part in a national day of action to stand up with this young man, Lieutenant Watada. Now, Lieutenant Watada, Aaron Watada, refused to join other members of his unit, the 3rd Striker Brigade Combat Team, when they flew to Iraq in late June. Why? Because he believes that the war is not only immoral, but illegal. He's been strongly criticized for his actions, but his family, which has a history of its own for standing up for justice, even when that isn't popular, support him 100%, as do a lot of people around this country. Bob Watada, Aaron's father, joins us from his home in Hawaii to talk about why Aaron did what he did, how Aaron is, and maybe he can help us to reflect as we look ahead to Independence Day. Welcome to the program, Bob Watada. Glad to have you.
Thank you for having me on your program, Laura.
Well, it's a pleasure. Tell us the situation of your son, Aaron, right now. Where is he? Do you get to talk to him? What's his condition?
Lauren is confined to the base at Fort Lewis. He's doing fine. He's in an apartment over there in officer's quarters, and He has been assigned to another unit, which he'll be working on, and something called budgeting. But he'll continue to work as he has been, and as I say, he's in good spirits.
So he's there in Washington State at Fort Lewis. He refused orders. There was all sorts of dire consequences predicted, that he could be in jail for a long time, that he could be in the brig indefinitely. It sounds as if those worst-case scenarios haven't played out.
Well, we don't know yet, because they haven't filed any charges.
Really?
But they will file charges, I'm sure of that, in due course. And then we'll see what we will do after that.
Now, how do you explain the delay? Because certainly the feeling was when he first, I mean, this is a man who actually told the public in advance that he intended to refuse orders to deploy and embarrassed the military in a sense by going on the offensive, as it were, before even he'd gotten the request to deploy. The expectation when I was in Washington State not so long ago was that the military were going to come down pretty hard, pretty fast. Why do you think they're waiting?
Well, the speculation on our part, of course, is that until the entire unit has gone and they won't file any charges, so they can say that they continue to give him the opportunity to go. Up until at least yesterday, they were still asking him whether he wanted to go or not, even though he's told them every single day that he didn't want to go, and he was not going to go. So that's sort of speculation on our part, is that they're waiting until the entire unit is gone before they bring the charges against him.
They may also be waiting for some of the attention, perhaps, to die down. Tell us a bit about your son. Who is Aaron?
Well, Aaron is he's following his conscience. One thing about Aaron that I think that people don't understand is that he really cares for people. He really cares for the fact that these soldiers are being killed in Iraq, and he really cares that, you know, we're destroying families, we're destroying, there's husbands dying, there's sons dying. He really cares about the Iraqi people. He's read account after account of all the children and women and resistors being killed. And, you know, there's clearly over 100,000, even at the most conservative estimate, after the war started, of children and women who have been killed. And he really cared for them. He felt that he had to take a stand.
Now, I remember when I was out in Seattle, we had your son on our program a few days after he made this announcement that he wasn't going to go back to Iraq. And he said, you know, he had not anticipated being sent to Iraq. It wasn't in the preparation stages when he first signed up. And when it looked like that's what was going to happen, he went and did research. And that's where he came to the conclusion that this war was illegal. Explain a little bit how your son's thinking on this has developed, and why did he sign up in the first place?
Well, he signed up in the first place, I think, like a lot of young men. After 9/11, there was a strong call for patriotism, for people to come up and step up and serve their country, and he felt that that's what he should do. He was at that age, and he said, okay, I have to serve my country, I have to serve my community to protect us against the terrorists. And he signed up. But and at that time, he had some inkling that maybe the Bush administration was not saying everything. But he thought, well, he'll give them the benefit of the doubt. And they must know something that the rest of us don't know, that there might be weapons of mass destruction, and there might be biological and chemical weapons. But it's now apparent that the Bush administration was clearly lying. They were deceiving the American public. That they knew from the beginning there were no weapons of mass destruction. There were no biological weapons. The only biological and chemical weapons, such as anthrax, which the Iraqis had, was given to them by the United States and a few other Western countries. And that's all come to light that we didn't know before.
That's right.
At the time, the Bush administration was saying that, you know, the Iraqi Saddam Hussein had the most sophisticated chemical weapons production system in the world. He had none of that, and we knew that.
Now, Aaron Wittata, when we spoke to him, he was very careful to distinguish between a conscientious objection, which it's not the grounds for his refusing to deploy, and his belief that this is illegal. Now, that's a careful distinction, or a delicate distinction for people to understand. Can you clarify the difference?
Well, under the military definition of conscientious objector, I mean, you have to be completely against killing anybody or anything under any circumstance. Even, you know, even if somebody is attacking your mother, you're not going to stop that person to kill them if they're doing that under the military definition. And he, you know, after talking to people who had been conscientious objectors and so forth, said, you know, well, I'm really not a conscientious objector, because if, in fact, the United States was fighting a war against a true enemy, then he would be willing to bear arms and fight for the country. But clearly in the case of Iraq, there was none of that. It was a clear case of aggression on the part of the United States. It was a clear case of an occupation and a slaughter. We're talking about nearly genocide of the Iraqi people since the war started. And this is what bothered him. And he says, you know, it was his he could not live with himself if he went over there and he participated in killing the Iraqi people. And he participated in having his officers kill the Iraqi people. And he participated in a way that would bring his own men under him in harm's way, and they would be killed. He could never live with that.
Mm. Are you worried about Aaron, your son?
Well, yes, I am. I'm a father, and I'm very concerned about him because I know that the army, you know, they'll punish him all they want to try to make an example out of him. But, you know, we're going to do everything we can to fight that.
All right. Well, when we come back, we will hear a little bit about your history and a little bit perhaps about the reaction that you have been meeting there in Hawaii and more broadly apropos of your son's refusal to deploy back to Iraq. Our guest is Bob Wittata. He's the father of Aaron Wittata, who on June 22nd became the first commissioned officer publicly to refuse to deploy with his unit. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. I'm Laura Flanders, sitting in for Mike.
We don't get rich top man. Rain of my Lord, didn't it, oh my Lord, didn't it rain? Oh.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for the Forward. That's 800-641-2626.
Checking up something.
Well, and he went his own way. Aaron Wattada became the first commissioned officer to refuse deployment to Iraq on the basis that he believed the war was illegal. That happened earlier this month. We're talking with Bob Wattada, who's the father of Aaron, who turns out to have something of a history of, choosing to participate, for example, in the Peace Corps rather than the Vietnam War in his day. Bob's calling in from Hawaii. Bob, tell us a little bit about your own family history. Is resistance in the genes?
I don't know, Laura, but I do know that while I was at the University of Colorado at the time that the Vietnam War was starting to get started in the early 60s, you recall the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution.
Mm-hmm.
I found it rather incredulous that 12 fishing sampans in the Gulf of Tonkin could have fired torpedoes at American battleships. I found it incredulous, and that was our reason for going into the war and sending in thousands and thousands of troops. And we now know that by American estimates that 2.5 million Vietnamese were killed.
Yeah, and we, as far as we know, that the only missiles that were fired that night were fired by U.S. naval brigades there in the Gulf.
That's correct.
That's right.
So
you didn't believe it, and you decided that for your own part you would dissent, as it were. What did you choose to do?
Well, I many of my friends were going to Canada. Many of them were going to Mexico. Some were fleeing to other countries. But I decided that, well, at least I'll try to use this period for something that's more peaceful. And President Kennedy had started a Peace Corps a couple of years before that. And I went to the draft board and said, I'd like to go to the Peace Corps. And they said, okay.
Hmm.
And so I went.
Hmm.
And I went for 2 years avoiding the draft during this period. And then when I came back, of course, I received a draft notice. At that time, they were still giving student deferments if you were a student at a college or university.
That was right about when Dick Cheney quickly got himself enrolled in college.
That's correct. I did too. I got back into college. Most of the colleges had begun classes some time ago, but there was one college that said, "Okay, you know, we'll let you come in." Otherwise, I would have gone to Vietnam. Mm. So I got a school deferment, and I stayed out of the Vietnam War.
So, Bob, I don't think there's ever been a war where those who waged it didn't say, this will be the war to end wars, et cetera, et cetera. It's one of those sort of classic journalistic questions, but how do you feel that your son is now having to, as it were, fight the same kind of fight for his conscience that you had to fight so many years ago?
Well, I just, you know, see the bigger picture as just very unfortunate that the United States has become very militaristic. At that time it was they used the word communists. You know, the Vietnamese were communists and so forth, and that justified their going into war against the Vietnamese and Cambodia. Today it's the terrorists, and we say, well, it's the terrorists, and we know that there are no terrorists in Iraq, but yet we use this fear that we have of terrorists to invade Iraq. And, of course, my own feeling on that is that in the Vietnam War, there was a lot of racial undertones to that. Similarly, in the Iraq War, there's a strong anti-Muslim, anti-Arab sentiment among many people, and that, you know, sort of continues I think of the history of man and the barbarians and how they used to invade territories and kill people and plunder and take the bounty. We're doing almost the same thing today.
That's
it's
right.
Sad. And I, as an American, I'm going to stand up and say, this is not my country doing this. I'm not going to let my country do this.
Mm.
And Aaron's taking the same kind of stand. I'm very proud of him for that.
Yeah. How do people respond where you live in Hawaii?
Well, Hawaii, you have to remember, is like a military camp here. And so I think if you had a poll, it would be about 50-50. Again, there are those people who are, they just don't understand. They only believe what Bush says and the newspapers say, which is very little.
justifying why we're killing all these people. And then there's the group that is just anti-Muslim, anti-Arab, and they're the core of this, and it comes all the way from the Bush administration. I mean, we call these people the enemy. We're occupying them. They aren't the enemy. They're resistance people. We used to call them in 1956 the Hungarian freedom fighters. These are freedom fighters, not insurgents. They're not the enemy.
What can people do if they want to show support for your son?
Well, I think the first thing that I keep telling everybody, you know, people have asked me, and I said, you know, educate yourself on this war. Try to understand why are we over there? And if you can't come up with a good reason, then you should start writing to your congressman, although that's not going to do much good, I don't think. As we've seen, I think the most important thing is that Americans have to remember that we are a country of the government, for the government. I mean,
of the people.
For the people, by the people, of the people.
Absolutely.
And we're the people. And I don't know if you've seen the documentary, Sir, No, Sir.
That's right.
But, and I wish everybody would see that to understand that it's people who have to go to the streets, unfortunately.
All right, Bob, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much. You're reminding us what the principles this country was actually founded on, an appropriate way to close out a Friday night before the July 4th weekend. I thank you for your call. That was Bob Wittada, father of Aaron Wittada. I want to encourage you folks to check out the website, radionation.org. This weekend, the program I normally host, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, will be replaying best ofs. And among our guests, we'll have Jim McDermott of Washington. We'll have Dave Lindorf talking about impeachment. We'll have a roundtable on independent media. And DJ Spooky and Mark Crispin Miller talking about the state of our communications. I want to thank everybody that's made this week's programs possible. Sadie Sullivan at the board, Christabel and Sia Boadi in production, Dee Neal there receiving your calls and helping the show along. It's been a pleasure to be here. Check out the website radionation.org, sign up for our newsletter, stay in touch, and stay listening to Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's time we got serious about peace. Thousands of Iraqis and U.S. soldiers are suffering every day in a senseless war in Iraq. So Independence Day, hundreds of moms are going to put their own bodies on the line in a historic hunger strike against the war, organized by Code Pink. They're going to Washington, D.C. to eat their last meal on July 3rd at 5 o'clock in front of the White House. But you can fast wherever you are in your own community. All the info is at TroopsHomeFast.org. TroopsHomeFast.org.
My one favorite spread has been Smart Balance Buttery Spread. I'm Bob Harris, and I've got another favorite spread that I think you'll love. It's new Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter. It contains no hydrogenated oil, no trans fatty acid, no refined sugar, all natural ingredients, and 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving. New Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter with 1,000 milligrams of omega-3. We deep roast premium quality peanuts to make it taste great.